I think one of the main jobs of Christian leaders is to decomplicate the gospel, because we've added a lot of things. We've cluttered it up a little bit, the gospel, and that clutter sometimes distracts us from the simplicity of the gospel, simplicity of the commands of God, and it can help and keep us from actually doing the things God commanded us to do. Just take, for example, our communion cups. Every week since I've been here, and I've been watching you guys online for some time, every week someone gets up here and thoughtfully and kindly says, here's how you do it. You pull back the little liner, you take the bread, and then you pull back the foil and take the cup. I think everyone understands it now. I don't know, we might could cut that part. I mean, were people just popping the whole thing? It feels to me, but we don't, but we want to, it's step by step, let's do this. Even so much so that when I was growing up, we talked about the five steps of salvation. Did y'all do that in Texas? Oh, we love to make it five. And they would say, what they would say in our place was five steps of salvation: hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and and live a Christian life. You're like, I have a question. Well, that's five steps of salvation. Are those six things? And those six things, that last one gets complicated, doesn't it? That last one, I mean, you're like, you say, well, okay, well, tell me about living a Christian life. Well, you got to come to Wednesday night. Oh, no. None of us are going to make it. It can get very, very complicated, that last one. Even the first one, hear. Hear it. Believe it. Confess. And so we tried to simplify it, but even in doing that, I've been baptized. Which church? Well, I thought you just said be baptized. Well, we meant in a good church. When? I was 9. Oh, we don't know then. Age of accountability? That's at 12. You blow out them candles and you're a sinner. That, so we really, the gospel is pretty clear, and what God has called us to do is pretty clear, but we've complicated it a bit. So much so that whenever Jesus tells his disciples, go and make disciples, go make disciples, or as you go, make disciples. As you go, make disciples of all nations. I want you to stand in their shoes just for a second, because the way they heard this might not be the way you hear it. And I want you to hear it the way they heard it, just to maybe give you some clarity about how we're going to live it. They had been disciples. That was their role. That was what they did. Jesus walked up to them and said, follow me. And that was an invitation to become a disciple. It was an odd invitation. That's not typically how disciples were made. Typically, you had to approach the rabbi and have a conversation with the rabbi. And it was a big admissions process, where you had this conversation and they would let you know whether you made it in or out by saying, follow me, and then there you go. You weren't just on a boat somewhere and Jesus comes up and says, follow me. And they say, okay, I just, it'd be the, that's the equivalent of some university sending you a letter saying, hey, you're accepted, full ride. Like, I didn't even apply. That wasn't even on my radar. But all of a sudden, I was planning on doing it. But okay, I guess I'll go there for a few years. Jesus's disciples followed him so that they could look, act, and walk like him. Every step he took, how he interacted with people, the things that confused them were the places in which they learned. And so they knew what a disciple did. A disciple follows. They knew what a disciple did. A disciple learns. A disciple immerses himself or herself into, and that time it was just himself, but we have girl disciples here at Glenwood, so yay. But a disciple immersed himself in the following of a rabbi. That was their job. If you were a disciple, you were becoming like your disciple, like your rabbi, like your leader. You became like the one you followed. And so when Jesus says to them, go, or as you go, make disciples, they did not then raise their hand and say, Lord, could we have a few conferences on what it looks like to be a disciple? They didn't say, is there some sort of event I could go to or a class I could take where you define what disciple is? I'm sure there's intricacies we're unaware of. No, they knew what a disciple was. It's what they were for 3 years. Someone who followed the rabbi. Someone who followed the teacher. Someone who followed the Lord. What he's telling them is the way I've led you with patience, with faithfulness, with love, with teaching. The way I've led you, the way you've followed me, you find people who will follow you back to me. And his call to them was simple because it was something they understood. They understood disciples. It's actually all they understood at this point. You could go to Peter and say, what are the two things you know best? And he would say, not catching fish and following Jesus. Two things Peter's best at. We would say waving a sword around, but he's not good at that. He did that once and he failed. So Jesus has this simple command for them. He's telling them, make more of you. But there's one little catch. One little thing that made it hard for them. As you go, make disciples of all ethnos. Of all nations, of all ethnicities. And that's the part they struggled with. As you can imagine, earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus has a teaching. It's a sermon he preaches. It's on a mountain. I'm not sure what we should call it, but He has this teaching, and early on in that teaching, he says, you are the salt of the land. It's the better way to translate it. So, salt of the earth, but he uses, and then he says, you are the light of the world, but he uses two words for earth and world to make us think that, like, my understanding of what he's doing there is saying, you are the salt of the place you are, Israel. You are going to make Israel better. And you are a light into a dark world. And here, he's finally calling them into that world. A world full of different. A world full of ethnos. A world full of ethnicities. And that's the part that tripped them up. Now, again, not complicated, is it? I mean, it's hard. I mean, we can be like one of the teachers of the law and say, well, who is my neighbor? Who is the world? Who are the nations? But it's pretty simple that the different from us are called to the kingdom with us. It's pretty clear that when we are gathering those who are going to follow us as we follow God, or I think, as one scholar said, follow me as I follow Paul, as Paul follows Jesus. But we have Jesus. We have Jesus in the Word. We have Jesus in the Gospel. We can look at what Jesus did and how Jesus lived. And not only do we have Jesus in the Bible, we have Jesus with us. We have God with us. We have the Spirit with us. And that's real. We are guided by God. And the fruit that Spirit produces. We are called to make disciples. But the question is, if people follow you, to whom will you lead them? If people followed you, would they all end up at Jesus? Would they all arrive at the cross and the empty grave and the throne that's occupied? Making disciples is not about some plan where I walk them through. Did anybody have that card in their Bible that had all the verses? It was a blue and white card, a scriptural color. You can't have it red because then Jesus said it. That was a stupid joke, and it didn't deserve the laugh it got. But he put that in your Bible, and it told you anything you needed to know. Go right to that scripture. It says you want to learn about baptism, you want to learn about salvation, you want to learn about the law, you go to that verse and rip it clean out of context and say it aloud. Now, that style of discipleship just burdens people. It smothers them in unnecessary clutter. You want to make disciples? You look like Jesus to the people that are going to follow you. You walk like Jesus as people walk like you. And everybody in our life, we might not have as big of a following as Jesus or any of the disciples. But you have people following you. You have people who look up to you. You have people who walk alongside you. And if they follow you, where will they land? Where will they lead? Where will you lead them? Where will you arrive with your disciples? Because if we're following the King, we'll arrive at the throne. The resurrected Savior. And I want you to know, It's not that complicated. You may feel like occasionally that you just can't do it. You're not the type. And we've almost taught people that it takes a special type to lead people to Jesus. But if you're following Jesus, you're already doing all the work. You're already taking all the steps. If people just walk alongside you and you don't start following them, but just commit to following Jesus, every day where you are living out the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces within us, that we are like Jesus, better than we could have ever hoped to be. The fact that we are good is salvation. The fact that we are holy is grace. The fact that I can have love and joy and peace and self-control and patience, once you get them out of order, you can't name all nine. The fact that we have all that the Spirit produces, that we have Jesus with us. You don't have to go to a conference to start making disciples. A lot of times I'll read books about this or that. Go to conferences about, hey, here's how you help. Let's grow the church. We're going to grow the church. Everyone ready? Let's go. Here we go. Here's how you do it. 5-step plan. You know, just be in our demographic. That's it. Just go to that place. That place is doing it. What that means is, If your setting is just like our setting, then our things will work. But you have people in your life who need Jesus, and they're waiting for you to talk about Him. We can measure the building and start the programs and get everything right and put it online and have a billboard that will not have my face on it. I don't think anyone's ever put their big old face on a billboard and thought, perfect. I was wondering what I would look like as a giant. No, we can do all the things, have all the ads, that just might not work, but you've got people in your life who are needing Jesus, and they don't even know it yet. And it just takes you bringing Him up. We have to, and if we're going to do that, we have to abandon this idea that we were raised right. Like this idea my parents did a good job. My parents did a good job. They just let me be as weird as I am. They say they go back and watch the old videos of Christmas and stuff. And they were like, Benjamin was doing things we didn't even understand, like know he was doing. Like one time, they got a dog for Christmas. I got a Sega. My brother got a dog. I didn't want to have to take anything outside. But the dog had to go outside, so we all left. And I walked up to the camera that was mounted on a tripod. It's big old, you know, back when the cameras were the size of a Volkswagen. And I went up and I said, we'll be back after these messages. And I left. They just let me... be me. They didn't say, Benjamin, you're weird. Stop it. And I really appreciate that about them. But the reason I'm kind to other humans is because Jesus. Even if your parents every day for your whole life said, you have to be kind to other people. You have to be kind. You have to love your neighbor. They echoed the teachings of Jesus, and they didn't ever give Jesus credit. They didn't put Jesus in their bibliography. Even if that's the case, now we've got to change our mind to say, from now on, I'm not giving my parents the credit. They don't want the glory. The King wants the glory. Let's start saying that Jesus is the reason I am the way I am. Jesus is the reason I forgive the way I forgive. Jesus is the reason I love the way I love. Because Jesus did all of those things for you, and if your parents taught you that, God bless them, but somebody taught them that, and somebody taught them that, and Jesus is a source of it all. So we've got to stop saying, well, why'd you do that? Well, you know, my parents taught me to be. No, Jesus is King, so I paid for your gas. Jesus is King, so I helped you at the load your big old thing into the grocery wagon. That was a good sentence. Jesus is King. So any kindness I participate in, any good I do, it's got to be echoed with Jesus' name. That we are going into all the world and we are following Jesus. We've got to let the world know we're following Jesus. We got to give them a beacon to say, hey, if you want to follow Jesus, follow me. I'm going there too. Now, I show up at Glenwood Church of Christ. You can do that too. I'll save you a seat. I bring my own blue tape so we can extend the row if we need to. But if we're going to follow Jesus, we've got to start giving Jesus credit. The disciples went into all the world eventually. It took them a while. But they went into all the world and they followed Jesus with Jesus on their lips. You never heard Peter say, well, I was raised right. You may have been. But your parents didn't save you. Your parents didn't walk out of the grave. Your parents aren't on the throne. And you're not going to lead people back to your parents. If they follow you, you are called to lead them to God. And as people follow us, as we follow Jesus, or as people follow us, as we follow those. I once had somebody ask me, it was in an interview thing. But it was weird because it was an interview for an intern and I was hiring him. But he was like, so tell me about the moment you were saved. I thought, that's a long story. Because I've come, yes, I was baptized. Good news. But there was, that story is so complicated and long, and there's people I walked with who showed me new ways, and I came to know God better in that time than I did ever before. As I came to know God, I found salvation over and over again. I found grace over and over again from people I've walked alongside that I didn't even know I was following. And maybe our call is just be intentional. To look around us and notice who's nearby and to grab them and say, you're my disciple. Not out loud. But just to know the way I treat my spouse is the way they're going to treat their spouse. The way I live my life is eventually the way they're going to live their life. And that matters. You're doing something then for the kingdom. Now, we might not fill the balcony here ever again. But we're going to go into all the world next to people who aren't like us, people in our maybe small circles and people you just meet at the gym or at the grocery store. And we're going to be Jesus to them. And it's, you can do it. There's not more steps. you can do it. Like, if you follow Jesus, you can make disciples. They might have your particular weirdness. And that's good. I'm guessing that you could tell a disciple of James's from a disciples of Paul. Just my guess. You could definitely tell Peter's from Paul's. Because when asked, the only time in the Bible that the New Testament ever comments on itself is when Peter, in 1 Peter, says, I've read some of Paul's writings and they're confusing. There's no standard way to do it, but God is going to use you to go into this world and make disciples of all nations. And the good news is, we're the all nations. They came for us. They chose, the early disciples chose diversity over uniformity, and it grew the kingdom of God. So you can do it. A lot of times we offer an invitation, and that's always open. You can always grab somebody and pray. You can always come grab me, I'll pray with you. You can always give your life to Jesus if that's something you haven't done. We will unite you in his death, burial, and resurrection through baptism. But the invitation has a second layer today, and it's when you go out. Yeah, you can come forward and we'll do with that what we need to do with that, but today you are invited to go and notice who's following you, to pay attention to who you're impacting, and then ask yourself, how can I look like Jesus so that they can look like Jesus? How can I make disciples? It's not complicated, but it is difficult. It's not complicated, but it does take your time, it does take your thought, it does take your energy. It's not complicated. And you are absolutely, every single last one of you are absolutely capable of leading someone to Jesus if you too are following Jesus. Let's pray.